Good morning. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning. I work in Fairfax at George Mason with international students, and the school year has just begun. So as you think about the international students at George Mason, if you would please pray for me and our staff and for the students that God would be glorified through our interactions and that he would see fit to build up and strengthen the international students who are already Christians and believers in Christ, and that he will draw many to himself. For our passage this morning, I have selected Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, which I will read for you now. This is the word of God. He, being Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for the good news that you give to us in your word. We ask now that you will give us understanding and that you will apply this passage to our hearts for your glory, for your honor, and for the spread of the gospel and for the building up of your church, both in this area and throughout all the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know this passage I just read was Luke chapter 19, but I want to do something, and I want to skip back a little bit to Luke chapter 18. So as I turn the page, Luke 18. There's something that happens here in Luke 18 that is important for us to remember as we're thinking about Jesus visiting Jericho. And that's in Luke 18, verses 31 through 34. And in these verses, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to Jerusalem, where he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. Right here, Jesus is telling his disciples, "We're on our way to Jerusalem, where all these things will happen to me. I'll be delivered over to the Gentiles. I will be mocked. I'll be shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging me, they will kill me." Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die. And this is the third time that Jesus has told his disciples this. But in verse 34, it says, "But they," being the disciples, "understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said." So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and on the way to Jerusalem is Jericho. And that's when we get our next few verses in verses 35 through the end of chapter 18, where Jesus is on his way to Jericho. And because the people of Jericho wanted to show honor to Jesus, many of them left the city of Jericho, and they went out of the city walls. They went out of the city walls so that they would welcome Jesus on his way and to show respect, to show honor to this great teacher. And as the people had gone out, there's a blind man. Luke says it's a blind man. Mark tells us his name is Bartimaeus, but Bartimaeus hears this great crowd going outside of the city walls. And he's like, what's going on? And somebody tells him, Jesus is on his way. We don't know what calls Bartimaeus to cry out, but he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people of Jericho who had gone out to welcome Jesus tell him to basically be quiet, to hush. But it's stronger than that. Basically, it's like, Bartimaeus, shut up. You are on the side of the road. You need to be quiet. You are going to bring dishonor upon us by crying out to Jesus. But Bartimaeus was not having that. And so he cries out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And so Jesus stops there, calls Bartimaeus to be brought to him, and asks him what he wants done for him. And Bartimaeus tells Jesus that he would like to receive his sight. And Jesus said to him, this is verse 42, Jesus said to him, recover your sight, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And so when all the people, when they saw it, they also gave praise to God. So the people of Jericho have gone outside of the city, they have welcomed Jesus, and they have seen this great miracle. They saw Jesus heal a man who was blind. This doesn't happen every day, does it? When's the last time you were in the mall or in school or just passing along the street and somebody says, oh, by the way, you know, 5 minutes ago I was blind, and now all of a sudden I see. This is the idea that Jesus healed a blind man. It's also one of those prophecies that we see in Isaiah saying that this is one of the things that the Messiah will do. He will heal blind people. So Bartimaeus is praising God. The other people in Jericho are praising God. And that's when we get to chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho. The people of Jericho, wanting to show honor to Jesus, they went out of the city walls to welcome him in, but they would have also prepared a great feast. They would have prepared a place for Jesus to stay so that that night Jesus and his disciples who are traveling with him could rest. They could stay. And during this large meal, the people of Jericho would also be able to ask questions. They would say, Jesus, tell us about the kingdom of God. How do you interpret this passage of Scripture? They would have this opportunity to sit at the feet of this great teacher who they had just seen heal a blind man, and they could just soak it in. But verse 1 here not only tells us that Jesus entered Jericho, it also tells us that he was passing through. Passing through. Right now, the people in Jericho, they're thinking might be, okay, we have these great plans ready. Jesus has entered Jericho, and now he is passing through. Something seems odd. Is Jesus not planning to stay with us this evening? Is he planning to continue on? He's on his way to Jerusalem, and this passage tells us that Jesus was passing through. So for all of the buildup, for all of the excitement that the people in Jericho that were experiencing, this great teacher had come to their city, they had just seen him heal a blind man, and now he's passing through. We're starting to get the sense of disappointment. disappointment that Jesus was not going to accept their hospitality in Jericho, but was going to continue on his journey. And that's where we see verse 2. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Some of you may have heard the song, the Zacchaeus song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Well, here in verse 2, we are introduced to Zacchaeus. And interestingly enough, in this passage, the first thing that we hear about Zacchaeus isn't that he was a wee little man. It isn't that he was short. The first thing that we see about Zacchaeus was his name, and then he was a chief tax collector. Chief tax collector. I know this is a little bit late, but in April, tax collectors are not your favorite people, are they? When you go to the store and you check out your receipt and you see that you paid for something and then it has that little line, tax. Collection of taxes, though necessary for our society and for maintaining our civic good, we're not necessarily happy about taxes. Some people might be. There may be somebody in here who is happy about collecting taxes. I don't know. But in general, most people are like, taxes, not my favorite thing. But in this case for Zacchaeus, it wasn't just that he was a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. And the way that the tax system worked in Palestine at this time was that the Roman government was over Palestine. And they basically sent out a request for bids. Hey, everybody who wants to be a tax collector, give us your best bid. And we will allot who will be the tax collector of this area so that the tax collector would be responsible for giving a certain amount of money to Rome. But the tax collector also had this perk. You were also responsible for collecting your own upkeep and salary. So really the only person that knew what the tax rate was in this area would be probably some Roman official somewhere, and the tax collector. And then he'd come with his crew, knocking on doors, so to speak, saying, hey, you owe us this much money. Taxes are due. So Zacchaeus is working with a Roman government that is occupying Palestine. He's collaborating with the occupiers, with the foreign oppressors. Do you think that most people in Jericho were happy with Zacchaeus? Collaborating with the foreign army? Collecting more taxes than what was necessary? He would be seen as a cheat, as a traitor. And if you were to take a poll, if they had one of those social media polls, who do you think is most likely to never enter the kingdom of God? They would say, you know, they'd give like four notorious people and then like Zacchaeus as choice E. Choice E would be the popular choice. They'd be like, oh, 95%. Zacchaeus has no chance. Because he is a traitor, he is a collaborator, he is a cheat. This man has no chance to see the kingdom of God. But verse 3 tells us that Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. We don't know if Zacchaeus had previously heard about Jesus. We don't know if Zacchaeus had just heard, hey, there's this prophet coming through town named Jesus. He just healed a blind man. That's pretty amazing. You might want to check this out. We don't know why Zacchaeus was wanting to see Jesus at this point in time, but he was. And that's when we see an additional problem. This one goes back to the song. It was like, but on the account of the crowd, he could not see Jesus because he was small of stature. Zacchaeus' real problem here isn't that he's a wee little man, that he's short, that he's small of stature. Because being a rich man, if he was an honorable man, he could go, excuse me, and the crowd would open up. They would let Zacchaeus come to the front of the crowd to see Jesus if he was an honorable man, if he was respected. Kind of like with children. You know, the holiday parades, and somehow the kids all get to the front. It's because people like kids. People did not like Zacchaeus. If Zacchaeus would try to force his way through, it's like, excuse me, I'm rich and I'm short. He still had this problem because he had to watch his back. Because if he wasn't watching his own back and didn't have people very close to him watching his back, it'd be very easy for a rock to go on the backside of his head. It'd be very easy for a knife to be pulled out and just shoved into his back. Because remember, Zacchaeus is a traitor. Zacchaeus is a collaborator with the Romans. So for all the people who are looking to expel the Romans from Palestine, they see Zacchaeus and they see like, hey, this guy is just as bad as the Romans, if not worse. And if we take him out, so much the better, and chances are the Romans aren't going to kill us because he's not actually Roman. So Zacchaeus had this problem. But Zacchaeus is clever. He is a clever man. He came up with a plan. Verse 4 says that he ran on ahead. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him because Jesus was about to pass that way. Remember, Jesus was passing through Jericho, so Jesus was going to pass outside of the city walls. And the reason we know that Jesus was going to pass outside the city walls is, one, it says he's, in verse 1, it says he's passing through, but two, it says he climbed a tree. Trees would not be inside the city walls of a Palestinian city at this point in time, in a Jewish city, because one of the thoughts was, is that a tree almost acted like a huge tent. And if any sort of uncleanliness, any sort of sin happened underneath this tree, that guilt, that pollution would be shared with everything under that tree. So if you have a tree inside of a city, all those buildings, all those people passing through are going to be polluted, guilty. And also, there's a wall around the city. You don't have that much room to expand. You know, you're not, with a wall of a city, you're not just going to knock out a wall and then, like, expand. You have to take up all the room productively as you can. So Zacchaeus, in his plan, he decides to run on ahead. Was that shocking, the idea that Zacchaeus was going to run? Somebody who's hoping to be respectable is going to run? If he's going to run, that means that Zacchaeus is going to have to pull up the edge of his robe. He is going to expose his ankles, folks. Grown men do not expose their ankles. That is shameful. I mean, granted, now grown men run in shorts, and it's not even battle. But in this day, not in battle, exposing your lower leg? What is going on? This is for children. Or if in case your life depended on it because you're in battle. So he raises up the edge of his robe. And that's one of the shocking things about Luke 15, right? The father also raises his robe to run to meet the son. Here Zacchaeus is just heaping shame upon himself by raising the edge of his robe. And then he climbs a tree. If grown men don't run, they certainly don't climb trees. That's something for children to do. But Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus. Fortunately for him, there's the sycamore tree. So the nice thing about sycamore trees is that they have low branches, sturdy branches that an adult can climb up into, and it has a lot of leaves that are big and heavy that can almost act as cover. As some sort of like a blind where you can be hidden. So he climbs up into the tree. Jesus came that way. He came to the place and he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. You ever wonder how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name? It could be because Jesus is God, and he knows these things. But on the flip side, it could be because Jesus used his human logic, because Jesus is also a man. So not only did the people from Jericho want to honor Jesus by going outside of the city walls to welcome Jesus, but when they see that he's passing through, they're going to stick with him, they're going to pass through the city, and then they're going to come out on the other side, and they're going to walk with him a while. Because they want to show this honor, they want to show this hospitality. Sometimes when people visit your house, and you don't just say bye at the door and shut the door afterwards. Sometimes you walk outside, you say goodbye. Sometimes you walk people to the car. That's one of these things. It's like they're walking with Jesus part of the way to Jerusalem to show honor. And because this crowd is still with Jesus, that could be a way that the people. How Jesus knows Zacchaeus' name. Because if Jesus can see Zacchaeus, there's a really good chance that everybody else in the crowd can see Zacchaeus. Because just because it's hard for you to see, just because it's hard for Zacchaeus to see, doesn't mean that it was hard for the people to see him. For those of you that have ever played hide and seek, did you ever hide and you're like, if I close my eyes, it'll be really hard for them to see me? I admit I have done this. It's really hard for me to see. And then you realize that your whole, leg is sticking out. It's like, oh. The people could see Zacchaeus. And because he is hated, he is a traitor, he is a collaborator, he is a cheat, they have some choice words for Zacchaeus. And I'm sure if you were put in that situation, you would never have choice words for a tax collector in this situation. But they did. And so it's very likely that Jesus picked up on Zacchaeus' name because people in the crowd were saying unkind things to Zacchaeus because this hated Roman collaborator, traitor, cheat has basically trapped himself in a tree. And he's a sitting duck in a tree. And this is the perfect opportunity for the crowd in Jericho to express their anger. And the anger, the resentment is building. And the whiff of violence is starting to be able to be smelled. Because this crowd is going to get payback on Zacchaeus. But Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus, says, hurry and come down. And if you're looking for shockers for the people of Jericho, this is another big one right here in verse 5. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. What did verse 1 say? That Jesus was passing through. The people in Jericho understood that, hey, maybe he has to get to Jerusalem in a hurry. We're disappointed, but we can understand if the prophet has to get to Jerusalem. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, hey, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down because I have to stay at your house today. Hurry and come down because you have to stay at Zacchaeus' house? The person that we've all voted most likely to never see the kingdom of God? Jesus, there must be something wrong here. This man is a sinner. But verse 6 tells us that Zacchaeus hurries and comes down and receives Jesus joyfully. There is joy in Zacchaeus' heart. Because even though he was hiding in the tree, Zacchaeus was hiding in the tree hoping to catch a glimpse of Jesus. But he's happy that he's been found by Jesus. And he's happy that Jesus is like, hey, I'm inviting myself to your place. And the party's going to be at your place tonight. Zacchaeus is happy because there's been a big shift here. Not just in Zacchaeus' heart, but with the crowd. Because if we see verse 7, it says, and when they saw it, when the crowd saw this, they all grumbled. This isn't like a mild complaining. This is like an angry grumble complain. So much so that the anger that the crowd felt for Zacchaeus before is being turned to Jesus. The anger that the crowd felt for Zacchaeus has now been shifted. It has been turned onto Jesus. They're grumbling not at Zacchaeus now. Now they're grumbling about Jesus. This prophet, this holy man, is going into the house of a sinner. Jesus shifted the anger and the wrath of that crowd onto himself. And I want you to think here between like verse 7 and verse 8. Think of it, there's a little pause here, kind of like a scene cut in a movie, where in verse 8 it says Zacchaeus stood up. Because at this point in time, the understanding is we're back at Zacchaeus' house. And believe me, Zacchaeus has a big house because he's a chief tax collector and he is rich. And so there's going to be this big courtyard for not just the feast and the people who are invited, but also townspeople that they can kind of sit on the periphery, on the outside, and like observe, because this is a social occasion. So Zacchaeus, who is now the host of this party that Jesus invited him to at his house, Zacchaeus stands up, and he realizes that he has an obligation now to speak. And Zacchaeus stands up, and he says to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. That's Zacchaeus talking to Jesus. But it's not just to Jesus, because remember, the disciples are going to be there. The town people are going to be there. There's a lot of people here that get to see Zacchaeus' speech. Zacchaeus loved money so much that he was willing to be a traitor and to work with the Romans. He loved so much money so much he was willing to cheat his countrymen, to charge more than what was required. He was an oppressor working for oppressors. Zacchaeus loved money at the beginning of the story. And now, Zacchaeus is like, I'm so different. Jesus has worked in my heart so much that I'm willing to give away a very sizable portion of my fortune to the poor. 50%. In addition, if I have defrauded of anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. So for those of you that like math out there, you're like, fourfold. So he's already given up 50%. So that means like if he's cheated anyone, so like his possessions are like 12.5%, he's basically broke now. He's a chief tax collector. He's broke now. Most certainly it's more than 12.5%. But that's because Zacchaeus is a new man. He has a new heart. Jesus found him. Jesus found Zacchaeus. And because Jesus found Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus is a new man. That love of money is changed. He's now willing to use that money, to use that wealth for the good of the poor, and to make things right for the people that he cheated. And it's an abundance, because what we read in Leviticus 6, according to the law of God, he just had to repay it in full and add 20%, a fifth. Zacchaeus is given 400% back. And so Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today, and remember, this isn't just to Zacchaeus. He's talking to Zacchaeus, but everybody else around gets to hear. He's like, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is recognizing there, not just for Zacchaeus, but for the whole crowd to say, even though you thought him to be the least likely person to see the kingdom of God, Zacchaeus also is a son of Abraham. He is a man of faith. He will see the kingdom of God because he has been found by me. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And though Zacchaeus was hiding in a tree, he was found by Jesus. And remember that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die. He's on his way to Jerusalem to lay down his life. And Jesus is completing his mission of being perfectly loyal and loving and obedient to his Father. And part of that is to lay down his life to redeem all the people of God. And so that through Jesus' life and his death, he has fulfilled what God called him to. He is righteous. He is loyal. He has been honored by the Father. He has shown his great power. And a little over a week after we see Jesus here in Jericho, he's going to lay down his life. He's going to die on a cross. He lays his life down. He takes upon himself our guilt for all of our wrongdoing. He takes upon himself our shame for being disloyal and not showing the proper honor and respect to God. He takes upon himself our weakness. All those times in which we struggle and we fail. And he bears that in himself on the cross. So that on the third day when Jesus rises from the dead and he gives gifts to his followers, instead of our guilt, which he has taken from us, he gives us his righteousness so that we are clothed in the pure, spotless robes that he has earned. That though we were shameful, he has taken his shame upon himself so that he can give us his honor and a place in the family of God. And where we were weak, he has taken that upon himself and he has given us the power to fight against sin, to struggle, to seek to obey and show greater loyalty to God. And in rising from the dead, we see that his sacrifice was sufficient, that he was holy, that he was the Son of God. So if you don't count yourself as a Christian today, how do you respond to this? How do you respond to this passage here? Christ is calling you. Christ is seeking you, saying, come to me. Find rest for your soul. Find forgiveness of sins. Find a place in the family of God. Give your loyalty to Christ. Trust in him. Brothers and sisters, those of you who are already trusting in Christ today, how do you respond? Respond with joy. That so often that we had been hiding, Jesus found us. He showed his love for us and that he laid down his life for you. Respond with gratitude, with greater loyalty, with a greater love for Jesus. And there's also this aspect of hope and encouragement here, where Zacchaeus was a greedy man. Because of Jesus, his greed melted away so that he could be free to give, to follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this good news that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, that his sacrifice was sufficient and powerful, and that for all those who trust in Christ, we have a sure and steadfast hope. And we thank you for this. We ask that you do apply your word to our heart and that you will grow us in greater loyalty and love for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.